this place. We feel your presence and we welcome it. Now, God, we ask that you touch each and every heart and prepare it for the word. Prepare the delivery of your word, God, and the deliverer of your word. Bless him, God, to give your people what you would have them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Whew. Amen. What a great rehearsal for that worship service we read about in the book of Revelation. Isn't that amazing? Thank you so much for leading us in that time of worship. I thank you for turning these lights on. Oh, there we go. Technical difficulties. Thank you. I asked Ken if we could have the lights on so I could see your faces. I get to see, when I'm up here with the lights right here, I just see the front couple of rows, and so now I get to see everybody. So when you're sleeping, I'll know it. No, just kidding. We have sound, right? Last time I was here, I inadvertently muted myself, and so I apologize for those of you who couldn't hear me, although I've been told I'm kind of loud, so it's probably not too difficult to hear. Well, Happy New Year. It was last year when I was here before, and so I get to say that to you, even though we're well into the new year, I get to say Happy New Year to you for the first time. And I am excited and honored to be back to share with you what's on my heart from the Lord, and I hope you'll don't mind praying with me again just one more time. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of worship. You are so worthy of anything and everything we could possibly dream of to say good about you. You're beyond all that. And what a special blessing it is to be together and to reflect on you and to worship you. And now in these moments that you've given me the privilege of sharing something from your word that's on my heart, I pray that you will make it so that it's helpful to somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my best friends lives in Atlanta, Georgia, in the area. And every New Year's Eve, I send him a text message. For the last several years, I've done it. At 9 o'clock p.m. our time. Right? And that text message is, Happy New Year! How does the future look? And this year, his message back to me was just a little different. He always texts back, the future looks bright. This year, he said, the future looks so bright, I'm seeing 2020. Right? Pretty clever. Pretty clever. He's a good guy. Well, that's what I'd like to talk with you about a little bit this morning, and that's 2020 vision. 2020 vision. Not what I don't have anymore, but your personal vision for 2020. And I'd like to start the conversation by asking you this question. It's the 12th day of this decade. It's the 12th day of 2020. How many of you have already abandoned your New Year's resolutions? Come on, be honest. Thank you. I see that hand. Okay, very good. Well, I read somewhere that the average person abandons their New Year's revolution. New Year's resolution, maybe it will be a revolution, a revolutionary year, abandons their New Year's resolution after 17 days. So there's 5 days for the rest of you. All right. Why do we make New Year's resolutions? We make them because the new year is a great time to reflect. It's a great time to reflect on the past. It's a good time to think about the things that we might want to do differently, the things we want to do better, changes that we want to make. And so we resolve what we're going to do. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to stay in closer contact with my friends and family. And we talk about what we're going to do. Now, I'd like to suggest to you this morning that one of the reasons we fail so often, almost always, at keeping our New Year's resolutions is because we start with the wrong question. We start with what? I suggest it would be better for us to start with why. And I don't mean why should I make a change or why should I make this specific change. I mean, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? I'm not talking about grand philosophy about why are human beings here. I'm talking about why am I here? Why are you here? Vision is about purpose. A couple of passages of Scripture that have informed my thinking over the years about this subject. One is Proverbs 29:18, and it says, where there's no vision, the King James says, the people perish. And that's fairly accurate because that's the end result of what happens. Because what the NIV says is, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. The people cast off restraint. In other words, when there's no clear statement of purpose and direction and boundaries and consequences from the Lord, people just do whatever they want. And that leads to chaos. And when you have that kind of chaos, the King James is right in saying it often leads to perishing or destruction. And what's true of societies is also true of individuals. When I don't have a clear focus, a clear direction, a clear sense of purpose, a clear vision, I'm an awful lot like my brand new puppy who can't decide which toy to play with. Oh, there's the ball. Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, there's my chew toy. Oh, squirrel. We kind of live like that when we lack a clear focus, a clear vision, a clear purpose. And that comes from the Lord, and it's a personal thing. But how do you... I've never yet found a verse in the Bible, and I've read the whole thing, cover to cover numerous times, and I've never run across that verse that says, Jim Thomason, here's what I want you to do in 2020. It's not there. So how do I figure out what my personal vision for 2020 and how do you figure out what your personal vision for 2020 is? Another passage of Scripture that's been helpful to me in that comes from Psalm 37, verse 4, and it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now let me tell you how I understand that. I am a football fan. I like football. I played football in junior high and in high school. I like going to football games. I like watching football on TV. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I heard 49ers. I wasn't going to go there. But I grew up my boyhood years in Detroit. I like the Lions and the Tigers and Bears. Oh, no, the Bears are Chicago. I like the Lions and the Tigers and the Pistons, all of that. And I like the Nebraska Cornhuskers. That's my college team. We lived in Lincoln, Nebraska for 3 or 4 years when they were national champs. Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, so I like football. All right, we got that clear. My wife loves basketball. She is a basketball fanatic. Now, we've been married, it'll be 40 years this July. And in those 40 years, I could probably count on one hand the number of times that she and I have gone to a football game together. But there is no calculator I know of that could count the number of times we've gone to basketball games together. We follow teams across country for the NCAA tournament. We like to go to the Holiday Hoops at Modesto Christian. We don't even have a team in the game, in the tournament sometimes, and we'll go to that. In fact, last week, we went to the high school girls' basketball game for the team that my daughter played on for her 4 years. She's graduated. She wasn't even with us. We just went to watch the basketball game and support the team. My wife is a basketball fan. I go to basketball games with my wife. Why? Because I want to make her feel good and do the things that she likes to do? No, because I delight myself in my wife. And her desires have become my desires. The things that she desires become mine. And now there are times when she's not sure she wants to go to the basketball game, and I say, come on, let's go! Because I'm a basketball fan now. I still like football, But I'm a basketball fan because she gave me the desires of my heart. I think it's like that with the Lord. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, the desire, it's not like we get to say, well, you know, I want that Mercedes and I want... No, He gives us the desires. His desires become our desires. That's the way to say it. His desires become our desires. Now, sometimes that happens almost imperceptibly. And so we have to learn how to discern that. And I'd like to spend the next couple of minutes teaching you a little exercise that I think will help you. It's helped me, and I think it'll help you discern those desires. Figure out what that vision, that 2020 vision is for you. And I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I'm adapting this exercise from a great book by John Maxwell. Any of you familiar with John Maxwell? John Maxwell has written 100 books, but this book is called Intentional Living. And this exercise that I'm going to walk you through this morning is adapted from that book. So credit where credit is due. And I think along the way I'll share a little bit of my journey with this exercise, just as an example to illustrate it. So it's three steps. The first step is three questions. All right, three steps to this exercise. First step, three questions. Are you ready? First question. Question number one. What do you cry about? Now there are things that almost everybody cries about. The loss of a loved one. Broken relationship, disappointments, loss of a job, some people cry about. There are things that a lot of people cry about. Almost everybody cries about. Even losing a pet sometimes. I was talking with a coworker this week who had to put down a dog that was 15 years old. He said, I was surprised at how emotional I got. So there are things that everybody cries at. So the question is not what do you cry about, really, as much as it is what do you cry about? What are the things that uniquely move you to tears? Now, if you have access to a piece of paper and a pen, you might want to write these questions down and even jot down some ideas about the answers that come to the top of your mind. But I would recommend, this is not an exercise that's going to get you to your 2020 vision by the time we say amen at the end of the service. This is something that would be useful for you to go back later this afternoon and reflect on, and maybe walk through this a little bit more later in the week as you formulate how the year is going to unfold, how the decade is going to unfold. So the first question is, what do you cry about? What comes to mind? Some of the things that uniquely move you to tears. Now, I am a sap crier more than a sad crier. Don't get me wrong, I cry about the normal things. When we had a Havanese dog named Cuba that we had for over 5 years, and a freak injury required that he be put down. And when I took him 6 months ago to put him down, I cried like a hungry baby with a soiled diaper. So I cry about the normal things. But I'm more often moved to tears by touching things, moving things. My kids make fun of me. We go to the movies, and we're all sitting in the same row, and something's happening on the screen that's particularly moving or particularly touching. They're all leaning down, looking at Dad. Is Dad crying yet? Take a bet, you know. And Hallmark commercials, you know, the ones where they come, the student comes back and tells the teacher what an impact they made on their life. Oh, I cry about that stuff. So I had to kind of reverse engineer my sap crying to figure out what it is that really disturbs me, that leads me to cry about those happy things. And one thing that I cry about is ignorance. I cry when people don't know the truth about how things could be. I cry when people don't know how to change things in their life to make them better. That bothers me, when people don't know that things could be better, and when people don't know how to make things better. Second thing that I cry about is estrangement. That bothers me, when relationships that are supposed to be wonderful are broken, that disturbs me. And a third thing that I cry about is, I cry about devaluation. I'm not talking about currency, although that can make you cry sometimes. But I'm talking about when people are written off as being of no value. That bothers me. What are some of the things that you cry about? Think about that. That's question number one. Question number two. What do you sing about? What do you sing about? What are the things, and again, it's more what do you sing about, but what are the things that uniquely light you up, lift your spirit, cause you to feel joy, be filled with joy and sing? What are those things? Well, I said I had to reverse engineer to figure out what I cry about. It's because these are the things that make me cry happily. So singing and crying, I guess, is the same thing for me. When I get moved to tears, it's discovery. That's one of the things that I sing about, is when I see people, or better yet, when I'm able to help people discover truth that will transform their lives. I sing about that. There is nothing more satisfying than spending time with somebody in a public setting like this or privately one-on-one and having them say, I never knew that before. I never thought of it that way before. And even better when they come back later and say, ever since we had that conversation, here's how my life has changed. I sing about that. And since I cry about estrangement, I sing about reconciliation. When those relationships that are supposed to be wonderful are wonderful again, I sing about that. When people who've had an argument at work reconcile, when family members reconcile. I was talking to another coworker, not the one who put the dog down, but I was talking to another coworker this week who told me that he reconciled with his estranged wife over the Christmas holiday. He called it his Christmas miracle. How wonderful is that? What could make you sing more than that? And I forget what else we were talking about in that conversation. It was work-related. But when he told me that, I was done. Reconciliation. I also cry about when people discover that they are worthwhile after all. The company that I work for, we create jobs for people with disabilities, and we have more than one story of people who work for us now who were homeless. One gentleman in particular talks about how he was suicidal. He had not been able to find or keep a job because of his disability, and he was suicidal until he was hired by our company. Our company gave him a job. That job gave him dignity. He did well enough at the job to be promoted into a lead position. And now he's not only got a sense of worth and dignity, he's no longer living at his parents' home, he's purchased a home. And not only has he purchased a home, but now he's providing housing for a coworker in his home. Somebody had written him off. Somebody had said, he's not worthwhile to work for me. But I'm singing because he is worthwhile. All right, so question number two is, what do you sing about? Question number three, what do you dream about? Now, this is not the big house, fancy car, boat conversation. This is a conversation about what one thing, if you could change it, would make all the difference for you. What would that be? What do you dream about? I dream about spending the rest of my life full time working to help people discover, reconcile, find that redemption of knowing that they're worthwhile. I dream of spending the rest of my life doing that. Full time. Where I don't have to report to a certain job for my paycheck and all that. That's what I dream about. Being able to do that. What do you dream about? That's step one. Three questions. What do you cry about? What do you sing about? And what do you dream about? Step two. It's another question. What are you good at? What are you great at? It might be a natural talent that you're developing into an even greater skill. It might be a skill that you've learned, but you're good at it. Now, sometimes when you're really good at something, you don't realize that other people have to tell you that you're good at it because it's just natural. You just do it, and people go, you know, that's really cool when you do that. And you go, what? Because you didn't realize that you were so good at it. So think about that. What have people told you you're good at? Now, it could be anything. You could be a great musician. You might be a great mechanic. Maybe you're a great cook. Maybe you're a great event planner. Maybe you are really good with sewing. Maybe you're really good with numbers. Maybe you're a good communicator. Maybe you're a great leader. Maybe you're a great follower. Maybe you're really good at helping. Whatever it is, the list could go on and on and on. But what are you really good at? Now, if you don't know, ask people. Go ahead. Ask people and say, hey, you could even turn to the person next to you. No, I won't ask you to do it right now. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, what am I good at? Go ahead, ask around. Everybody here is good at something. According to the Word of God, we're all gifted, right? I am not a gifted musician. I love the songs, but sometimes I can't find the notes, so I just mouth them in, you know, I mouth them out in joy, and the Lord receives my praise. I'm not a gifted musician. People have told me I'm okay at communicating. People have told me I'm fairly good at taking difficult, complicated things and making them simple and communicating them in a way that even children can understand. One of the great joys in my life was not long ago, my 19-year-old daughter told me, Dad, when you teach, I get it. I understand what you're saying. Oh. That'll make you cry. And sing. And dream. Yeah. But she told me that. And so I've been told that I'm okay at that. I've been told, although my wife would probably disagree with this in certain contexts, I've been told that in some contexts I'm not bad at listening. I have selective hearing at home from time to time, only when I'm awake. But when I'm sitting down focused on paying attention to somebody and listening, I'm been told I'm pretty good at it, at being able to hear what's behind what's being said and pull out truth and help people see and understand those things. And so that's kind of where I find the things. And I don't mind public speaking. A lot of people really hate it. A lot of people are terrified. It's like the number one fear. Death is down the list from public speaking for a lot of people. But I don't mind it so much. So I guess I've been told that I'm okay at that too from time to time. So those are things that you think about in this developing your vision for 2020. What are you good at? And the final step is really the key step. It's where the vision develops. But we've asked the three questions that help you identify your passion. Because when you cry about something, when you sing about something, and when you dream about something, that's your passion. Those are the desires that hopefully you're getting from delighting in the Lord. Those are the desires that He's putting into you. You may cry about homelessness. You may cry about mental health issues. You may cry about drug addiction. You may cry about a lot of different things. What's your passion? And we've talked about what you're good at. What are your skills? What are your talents? The last step in this, the third step, is finding your sweet spot. And the sweet spot is that place where your passion and your skills intersect. That's where they come together. When we served in China, my family and I had the privilege of serving in China for a couple of years, about 10 years ago. And while we were serving there, there was a woman in our community. She was from England, but she was part of the expatriate community living in that Kunming in China. And she was skilled at designing and making jewelry. And she had a passion for rescuing women from human trafficking. And her sweet spot was she developed a ministry, a company called Eden Ministries. And what they did was rescued women from human trafficking in China and then gave them jobs designing and making jewelry to teach a skill to bring beauty and art back into these damaged lives, to help them earn a living and get back on their feet after being taken advantage of so severely. So that's her vision, her purpose, where her skills and her passion intersected. The company that I work for now, I mentioned already. We're pretty good at electronics manufacturing. We're pretty good at warehousing and logistics, and we're pretty good at facility services, facility maintenance, janitorial, environmental services. We're pretty good at all of those things. And our passion is providing jobs, creating jobs for people with disabilities. So we have a whole company serving with over 6,000 employees in 15 states where that skill set and that passion intersect. And we're creating jobs for people with disabilities who wouldn't be able to work otherwise, all over the country. That's our vision. That's that company's vision. So the question is, what is your sweet spot? And that's what you spend time praying about, thinking about, working through. What am I good at? What's my passion? How do those intersect? So I want to leave you with this. It's the concluding question. I guess this has all been questions. This is the concluding question. What are you going to do about it? Once you work through this exercise and identify what you cry about, what you sing about, what you dream about, what you're good at, and what your sweet spot is, what will you do about it? Dreams are cheap. Everybody has them. The difference between dreamers and people whose dreams come true is action. What are you going to do about this vision? I told you what my dream was and what my my passion is, and I'm going to share with you just in closing, not as an advertisement, but as an example of taking action. So I shared with you a little bit about what I cry about, sing about, dream about, and what my skill set is, and what the sweet spot, the action that I've taken to get into my sweet spot is I spent some time, I spent some energy, and I spent some money getting certified as a John Maxwell speaker, trainer, coach. And I also got certified in the DISC temperament analysis model so that I can go and train people in DISC. I share that with you only because my dream would be only a dream. My vision would be only a dream if I hadn't taken action. And there's more action to come in the coming months to develop that into the ability to live out the dream that I mentioned to you. So I leave you with the question. We've talked about finding your passion. What do you cry about? What do you sing about? What do you dream about? What are you good at? And how do those intersect into a sweet spot? And the final question again. What will you do about it? I recommend that you take some time this afternoon going through all of that and list two specific actions that you'll take this week that will move you in the direction of a 2020 vision.